All right. And then I think something that's interesting that it shows kind of the overview of, I think, what the book will show, and it's something not lost on frame. And I think it'd be easy to glance over and say, well, of course he's got to talk about this, but he wants to talk about what's the purpose of apologists? It's to present the good news. And it would be very easy to say, well, you know, these three things lend into our apologetics, but he makes a central point that it's very hard to divorce our good news, our gospel message, from our philosophy, and vice versa. And so I just want to say that as I'm reading this and I'm reading Frame for the first time, I'm appreciating what he's covering here. And that doesn't mean anything to probably any viewer, but I just want to say I enjoyed it. So, but Christianity is not just an alternative to secular philosophies or a set of moral standards better than those of current society. You know, well, is it Jesus or is it Jordan Peterson? Well, you know, you just kind of pick what you want and what it is. It's not just that, it's an alternative viewpoint. It's the gospel. It's the good news. We're saying that this is the answer. It's not an answer. It's the way, the truth, and the life. And so we're pointing to this as being the ultimate explanation. So in this respect, too, it is unique, a genuine alternative to the conventional way of thinking. Scripture teaches that human beings made in God's image sinned against him, and we today bear the guilt of Adam's first sin and the weight of our sins against God. And what is the solution? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever should believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. Jesus died for our sins and was raised for our justification. And what does that have to do with our understanding of the nature and makeup of reality and how we know things and how we should live? Well, absolutely everything. That's exactly the answer. And from that source point, we get all the answers to everything else. And that's what we want. And if you know, people ask me, well, you know, what would be a good alternative explanation to Christianity? I would say that I want to see a consistent worldview presented to me that I could live without contradiction. So that's what I'm looking for, from my
That
viewpoint.
actually worked in the world,
Right. Right. And you know, the you know, I'm sure someone could say, well, yes, so how about this one? And we can have that discussion. But I'm saying Christianity is the one that seems to offer to me a very convincing complete package of worldview, from nature aspect, from a knowledge aspect, and from an ethics perspective. And then from there, have a transcendent aspect that applies to everyone, everywhere, everything, and even before time began. And so I think that's a hard hurdle to get past. And he's going to talk about, well, you know, does unique mean right? And so that's what he talks about.
Right. Yeah. Good. And so he tells us no philosophy, no liberal theology, not even any Christian heresy offers any solution to human sin beyond encouragement to try harder, right? However persuasive they may be in other respects, these ideologies agree that there's no free gift of divine forgiveness through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Empiricism, rationalism, idealism, Judaism, Islam, Mormonism, the Jehovah's Witnesses, all are religions of works. Righteousness, which is self-righteousness. And they offer us only the hollow advice, he tells us, to try harder, right? Or the false and morally destructive claim that God will forgive everything without demanding anything, right? And he says that's what the alternatives offer. And of course, Christianity doesn't. Christianity says you can't do it on your own. God had to do it. God can't just forgive you. Sin has to be paid for, and God did that himself.
Right. And it's a complete package situation here as well. So then he says, towards the end here, he says, allow me to draw the application that evangelism is part of apologetics, as the reverse is also true. Perspectively, the apologist must also always be ready to present the gospel. He must not get so tangled up in arguments, proofs, defenses, and critiques that he neglects to give believers what he needs most. It's not always be ready to get in an argument for the hope that you have because you're morally superior and you're saved by grace through faith alone, and you know that you can do what you want after that. No, the response that we should have is, ooh, I'm looking for an argument, but ooh, I'm looking to tell other people the good news. And so he says, then we must see that Christianity, both as philosophy and as good news, is the alternative to the conventional wisdom. This uniqueness of Christianity is itself an apologetic application, and it is also a significant perspective that we're bringing as well.
Yeah, good. And so he ends this chapter by saying this. He says, obviously, uniqueness alone does not itself entail truth, right? Yes, Christianity is different. It's an alternative. It's unique. It's, you know, from these other worldviews and perspectives. But that doesn't necessarily entail truth. But when all the other alternatives march along, like he says, Tweedledum and Tweedledee, all claiming, you know, implausibly to be able to explain the personal by means of the impersonal, or all claiming autonomy and thus denying God's sovereignty, or all claiming to be, you know, find ultimate ultimates that are not in God but in creation, or all offering as a solution to our predicament nothing more profound than works righteousness. Indeed, without, he says, a divine difference, right, among these various conventional ideologies, he says it certainly makes sense to give a high priority to investigating Christianity and its claims, right? Because, again, of its uniqueness, is different from these other claims from other worldviews. Mm-hmm. This indifference to such uniqueness, he says, is not wise when we're considering, you know, the best explanation. Right. And so he ends the chapter on the message of the apologist by emphasizing the uniqueness of the Christian message and right. perspective.
Right, right. Yep. Christianity doesn't seek to be a voice of one in a thousand. It wants to be the voice of one of one. And that's the gospel message, and ultimately that's why they killed the prophets, that's why they killed Jesus, and that's why they killed the apostles of the church. And you know, it doesn't look too good for us either. So yeah, good thing the Bible talks about that as well.